shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, I got to push for time on tonight. I'm working with...
Preach on.
Amen. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, Paul preached until midnight. So get ready. Get ready. We're going to go all the way to midnight. It's a great day to be alive. If you don't think it's a great day to be alive, then you just miss one, and you'll see that it's a great day to be alive. Good to see the Sharps on tonight. I haven't seen them since I left Tennessee. It's good to see y'all. G, you growing all up. Oh, amen. Amen. To gain a crown, we must be like Jesus. To gain a crown, we must be like Jesus. This is a humbling day for me. I don't know what made me do something different on a day on my way here, but on my way here on today, I made a little detour to West Gaines. And I thought back on my humble beginnings. You never know what God is going to take you to. You never know what God has in store for you. And I sat there and looked at the front door and I said, man, there was some good sermons preached in this pulpit. But God takes us to other heights. To gain a crown, we must be like Jesus. I always like to start off with something funny. Raise your hand if you know what it means, you know, if you recall the days you used to get baptized in the river. Some of y'all look like y'all may be old enough to remember the river. One brother right there, he remember. Amen. Well, there was a young lady who wanted to be baptized. And it was time to be baptized at the river. And when she got to the river, the preacher was already in the water, but she seen an alligator behind the preacher. And she said, I just don't like that thing behind you. Oh, my sister, don't worry about it. Come on and be saved. So she made her way to the water, and the alligator popped back up again. She said, I just don't like that thing behind you. Alligator went back under the water. By the time she made it to the preacher, and she's about to put her hand into the preacher's hand, the alligator popped back up again. She said, I just don't like that thing behind you. The preacher looked back and said, my Lord, my God, I don't like it either. He got up out the water. Amen. So if anybody want to be baptized on tonight, the water is just fine. You don't have to worry about an alligator. Jesus said in Luke chapter 2, and he said unto them, why did you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? He had to be from Tennessee. That's some country talk, right? I must be about my Father's business. Heavenly Father, we thank you on tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that you lead me through this brief study of your word, oh God. More of you, less of me. I cannot do anything without your power, without your word, and without your anointing. Heavenly Father, I pray that some heart is open, that your word may fall on good ground. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. At 12 years old, they found Jesus in the temple, teaching, asking questions, going all the way back to the prophets and the Torah, expounding on the scriptures at the age of 12. Quite significant, because in Jerusalem at the age of 12, you had to decide at the age of 12 what would be your occupation. If your father was a fisherman, you had to make the declaration, I want to be a fisherman. If your father was a carpenter, you had to make up in your mind if you was going to be a carpenter. And so they found Jesus in the temple expounding on the word of God. And Mary said, Jesus, why did you break our heart like you have done? We have been looking for you. And Jesus said, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? I believe instantly she looked at Joseph and said, he cannot be talking about you. Because if he was talking about you, then he'll make a declaration that he'll be a carpenter because you are a carpenter. But Jesus was saying in so many words, I must be about my heavenly Father's business. Oh, I believe heaven rejoices when one saint say, I must be about my Father's business. My first point is simple. It takes courage to choose to follow Jesus. It takes courage to follow Jesus. Let me tell you why. We live in a world where Jesus is not popular. We live in a world where talking about God is not the number one thing on people's resume. We live in a world where the world has waxed cold when it comes to talking about God. I'll never forget when God began to minister to me and called me to preach back in 2009. Well, in 2010, we had a class reunion, and they invited me to the class reunion. I know this will be a bit odd because God was calling me right, and the rest of my high school class was going left. I never forget, once I made it to the graduation party, people who had got word that God had called me to the ministry, they started making a couple jokes. Back in high school, I was the one who threw the parties. Back in high school, I was the one who got the parties together. Back in high school, I was the one throwing senior skip day. So now they're looking at this newfound preacher to see what I was going to do. I recall some of my classmates saying, "Hey, preacher man, come on, man, don't get drunk. The Bible say they got drunk in the Bible." And I began to see real fast that I no longer fit. I no longer fit the party. I knew right then and there, even as a babe in Christ, I knew that it was going to take courage to walk this journey, because we live in a generation where talking about God is not popular. But God is the one who woke you up this morning. But God is the one who put clothes on your back. But God is the one who made a way out of no way. How can God do so much for people, but people not care about God? Satan must be busy. It's going to take courage to follow and choose Jesus. Somebody may be asking, why should I choose Jesus? First of all, my brothers and sisters, he gives life. John 10:10 make a declaration of what the devil gives you and what God has to give you. It's talking about the benefits. Every time we take a new job, we want to know what type of benefits this job has to offer me. Does it include dental, health? What does this job include? Well, the Bible tells us in John 10:10, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God said, Jesus said, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's no benefits with serving Satan. So we choose life. When we serve the devil, we got no weekends off, no vacations, no covering, no protection. But there's life in Jesus Christ. The next thing I'd like to say, that Jesus offers purpose. Matthew 16:25 said, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Somebody may be asking, what does that mean? You got to lose yourself in order to find yourself. You never find purpose until you find Jesus. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for Jesus Christ's sake shall find it. Dr. Miles Monroe once said, the most dangerous man in the world is that man or woman who is alive but does not know why God sent them here. Purpose. Purpose is so important. You'll be amazed how many believers come to church Sunday after Sunday, but they have not discovered their purpose. Purpose is the reason for a thing's existence. Purpose is the reason why something was made. Purpose will never be found in the creature. Purpose will always be found in the creator. If you want to know why you were created, you must go back to your creator. This story never became real to me until I read an article about a man by the name of Mark Barton. From Atlanta, Georgia. One day he put a Colt 45 on one side and a 357 Magnum on one side. When the police got to his house, they found his wife, Leanne, bludgeoned to death. The two children, bludgeoned to death. And Mark Barton made his way in traffic when the police got in hot pursuit behind him, and they went to Acworth, Georgia. Well, he got out the car at a gas station, took that 357 Magnum from his waist. He pulled the trigger. His brain scattered. The blood splattered. He was dead. They did not understand until they went to the house and they found the letter. And the letter said, my life. My life is so miserable. I don't even know why I was born. The most dangerous man in the world is that man who is alive but does not know why God sent them here. Purpose is the number one reason why God sent us here, and purpose is only found in God. It behooves us to come to this world and never discover why God sent us here. And if you don't come to this world and be used by God to walk in your purpose, the world will never know you existed if it had not been for your tombstone.
The Bible says, blessed are those who die in the Lord, for they shall rest from their labor and their works shall follow them. We're still talking about Jesus because he did the work. Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus never said, I got old. Paul said, I have finished the course. I have finished the work. Notice that none of these prophets talked about how old they got, because God does not send us here to get old. God sends us here to do a work. So if we waste our time following the enemy, we'll never discover our true purpose. Purpose is only found in Jesus. The question on tonight, are you truly walking in who God called you to be, or are you walking in the pain of your past on who the devil tried to make you to be? I got a call from a sister in Christ in Pulaski, Tennessee the other day. And she said, Brother Gill, I can't help it. I always been like this. I can't help it. I just cuss a lot. I just get angry a lot. I said, just because you have always been like that does not mean you always have to stay like that. She said, I'm not great. I said, you don't have to be great to get started, but you have to get started in order to be great. Start your purpose. Sometimes your later years are your greater years. Doesn't matter when you get started. All that matters is if you get started. I got 15 more minutes, and I'm going to bring it to pass. Forgiveness is found in Jesus. The Word of God tells us in Ephesians 1, chapter 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Hebrews 8, 12 says, for I will be merciful unto the unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. My next point is, you always must remember who you are. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hidden. When you go somewhere, people should remember you were there because you let your light shine before the world, that they seen your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do people know that you are on the job? And if they do know you're on the job, I wonder, what do they know you by? If you popped up at some of y'all jobs, I wonder what people say about you. I heard a person say, if you was on trial for being a Christian, I wonder would they have enough evidence to convict you. I wonder, do people on your job know you're in love with God? I want to know if people on your job know that you read scripture. I wonder how many people on your job know that you are in love with God and you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you would not recount your statement. Or would somebody say, all she do is gossip at work. All he do is count a cuss at job. All they do is smoke and drink on their lunch break. What would people say about us? Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that love us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. There are benefits in following Jesus. Once you are a part of the kingdom, the enemy gets mad because nothing can separate us from the love of God. If I can just write it in your hearts, I wonder, do you know how much God loves you? I wonder, do you really know how much God loves you? I told you about working in the detention center for several years. There was this one boy that I met, and he said, I don't believe in God. If there was such thing as a God, Mr. Gill, then why would God allow me to get molested by my father? If there was such thing as a God, why would God allow me to get beat by my father? If there was such thing as a God, why do I have to go through so much pain? If there was so much of a God. I knew there was going to be a hard task to convince somebody that God is really real when they've been through so much pain, trials, and tribulations. Instantly, I began to go in prayer. I said, if you just give me a couple weeks, let's just spend time in Scripture, and maybe the Holy Spirit can reveal some things to us. And I'll never forget when I got on the unit one morning, he ran to me, and he said, Mr. Gill, it all makes sense. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I read half of the Bible like you told me to, and I began to remember, and I began, Jeremiah went through hell, and Paul went through trials, and Peter went through ups and downs, and God is not picking on me. Everybody that chooses to follow God goes through ups and downs, and sometimes God will allow your story to be your testimony, and your testimony is not just for you. Your testimony for all those who come in contact with you. You went through something that you may be able to help somebody else. If you never went through nothing, you'll never be able to help anybody. you never had a story, you'll never have a testimony. Sometimes God gives us tests to give us a testimony. On last night, a brother had a testimony. A brother came to me in tears. I will not share his name. He said, you can share this testimony, Brother Gill, on tomorrow. He said, your sermon last night was about me. He said, you see these two pretty babies right here? Well, let me tell you, the state accused me for messing with my own kids. And he said, me and my wife just got my babies back because they found no evidence. And he broke down in tears.
He broke down in tears, not because the accusations are right or not the allegations are right. He broke down in tears because that's a love that a father has for his children, just like our Heavenly Father loves us. Do you truly understand how much God loves you?
Jeremiah 3:15 says, do you remember who you are? I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, you are the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors according to my own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Because God wants us to understand and know who he truly is. My encouragement to you as we end this last night, it's been wonderful. My words of encouragement is, die empty, brothers and sisters. Die empty. Everything that God has put inside of you, use it. Use it.
I don't want to be one of those people that somebody got to break down to remind them who I am so they can remember me. Do you remember Brother Gill? Well, he did this, he did that. You know, no. I don't quite remember him. You know Brother Gill. He came and spoke here one time. I can't remember. I want to do enough work that when somebody say my name, people get happy because of how much I love God. I want to do enough work that you don't have to continue to beat somebody to remind them who I was. I want to give enough of my purpose to the world that if you just mention my name, people will know who I am. Because I gave something back. Die empty.
Heard Denzel Washington say, what if you was on your deathbed? And while being on your deathbed, all the angels of your purpose and your dream stood around your bedside with tears in their eyes, saying, God gave me to you, and you didn't use me. There's so many people in the church that's been through so much hurt. Like I said on last night, we sit here with so much pain and we never let the pain out. If you never get it out, my sisters and brothers, you'll never get a chance to walk in your true purpose. The enemy wants to keep us in bondage. He wants to keep us in bondage on the things that we have been through in life. Ups and downs, trials and tribulation, divorce, child neglect, child abuse, child molestation, to keep us from walking in our true purpose. Would you die empty on tonight? I'll never forget back in 2009, right before I obeyed the gospel, I was on a college campus because I was learning more about God. I wanted to hold my own Bible studies. And I was teaching these Bible studies on this college campus, and there was a Church of Christ on campus. All the kids stopped going to the Church of Christ on campus, and they wanted to come listen to me in the library. And I'll never forget this elderly white couple came to me, and they was the preacher and the preacher wife of the Church of Christ on campus. Hey, we heard a lot about you. You've been taking all of our members. I said, well, that was never my intention. The wife had tears in her eyes, and she said, Stephen, would you please study with us? So I studied with you. I began to study with that elderly couple. It changed my life. It also made me mad because I had to admit and I had to submit to realize I really didn't know as much as I thought I knew. So months after studying, Gene said, Stephen, would you like to teach a Bible study on tonight? I said, no, I'm not a part of your Church of Christ. He said, but you know enough truth that I have taught you that you can at least teach the truth. I decided to teach on baptism. I preached so hard on baptism, my brothers and sisters, I convinced myself to be baptized. I said, Gene, I'm ready to be baptized. At 12 o'clock midnight, they took me to the Church of Christ and baptized me. And Gene looked at me in the eyes with tears in his eyes, and he said, Stephen, you know what you got to do, don't you? I said, yeah. Through the help of God, I went back and baptized all 23 of those people I was leading astray. So I didn't believe in baptism. But Gene became like a father to me. And if I know anybody who died empty, it was Gene. Gene said, Stephen, if you want to be a preacher, we'll send you off to Bible college. It's amazing how God put people in your life. You don't have all the answers. You don't know how things are going to work out. But God knows exactly how he wants to work everything out.
On last month, Gene took his last breath, and Madeline called me. I still got a voicemail on my phone. She said, "Stephen, you just need to get to Nashville. Gene wants to see you before he makes his last statement." I was honored to be around the family. Of all these people, they chose me to be right there next to Gene. I felt like Timothy right there next to Paul. And I want to play this little small clip of Gene's last words so we can know the cost, so we can know the dedication that we must have to put into the kingdom when it comes to dying empty. I didn't have much time tonight, so I didn't get down like I usually get down, but you understand where I'm coming from. Y'all know I can get down. But I want you to listen to this just briefly.
When you get coming up the aisle towards one of those gates of 12, I'm going to be swinging on the gate handle there, and I'm going to say, "Come on, Stephen!"
Hey, man, that's really the hope. I want to make it. I hope to make it.
I really, really, really hope that so many that have come through, that some of them are a glory to God.
Wow.
You know, that's what it's all about right there. We're supposed to bring God that little bit of glory when we can.
Yeah. 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 Well, I'm happy to be here.
I'm looking forward to finding out what glory is myself.
That's a deep word. I don't think we truly understand.
It really is.
We don't truly understand the impact of glory.
I think it's more than just a shiny face.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally agree.
I think it's something that will be a very enjoyable thing. I look forward to... there's two big things that I really look forward to seeing inside the gates of heaven. One of them, I want to get that close enough to God to know what pure love feels like.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Wow. That's why Paul said we approach death with confidence. That's a person that lived their purpose. Well, not even death scared him. I think we need to rethink why we really here, my brothers and sisters. We are the church. The church should be a place where it doesn't matter if you're urbanite or bourbonite or ghettoite, you should not be judged. The church is a place that it doesn't matter if you came from the Owl House or you just came from the White House. The church is supposed to be a place where it doesn't matter if you just came from Penn State or you just got released from the state pen. The church should be a place where the least of these should be loved and accepted by the most of us. Don't forget who Jesus is. The Bible tells me that he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Heaven and he's the King of Earth. He's the greatest phenomenon that ever walked the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's the sinner Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest ideal in literature. He is the highest personality in philosophy. I wonder, do you know him on tonight? I wish I can describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees can stand him, but they found out they can stop him. Pilate can find any fault in him. Herod can kill him. Death can handle him, and the grave can hold him.
Amen.
That's my king. That's your king, and it's going to take courage to follow him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lesson. Heavenly Father, we pray that the things that were said in brief were pierced into the heart and opened up the spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all those individuals who traveled near and far to be here, to hear your word, to be amongst your people. We pray that a seed was planted within their heart, that they'll begin to start their purpose, that they'll walk away from their life of pain, that they'll walk away from their life of hurt, giving you all their pains and burdens, knowing that you can give them life, knowing that you can give them forgiveness, and knowing that you can give them purpose. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.